So, along the way, last year, and I will continue to say this, I've said a scripture that I finally brought proof that is actually in the Bible. It's from John 14:12. And it states, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these." I always find it amazing that in most traditional Orthodox Christianity, they seem to forget that. There seems to be this thought that the second coming of Jesus is all about Jesus coming back and taking over where he left off. But I'm here to tell you, based on scripture, that the second coming is actually... Please, if you can't hear, let me know and we'll turn it up. I thought that's what you were saying, is turn up the volume. It's like, I'm trying. That the second coming is not Jesus coming back off of the throne of God. It is the Christ and God and the Holy Spirit coming through you, each and every one of, let me add myself, us, to be the living Christ here on earth. Through Easter, most of the time we kind of give, he ascended, and that's the end of the Easter story. Well, in Matthew, that is. But for the other three Gospels, the story continues. This is where I'm going, because we left off that, well, he came, and he wasn't quite yet, I don't know, firm. He was telling Mary, "Don't touch me. I'm not ready yet." But most of us don't talk about how he came to the disciples to give more lessons. And so, before we really go there, I wanted to add something from John 14:15. A reminder before we go there. For Jesus also said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He only had two. We would think it would be fairly easy to remember those two commandments. One, first one, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all my heart and soul. Second one, anyone? Love your neighbor as yourself. Seems to be two simple commandments, yes? Love God, love thy neighbor, but with the world the way it is, I don't know. The second one seems to be kind of getting past us. And it did during his time as well. The things that, you know, the Bible's an interesting read because everything that's happening today, it's all in the Bible. There's nothing new in the world. And so the lessons that Jesus taught or tried to teach the disciples, the same lessons that we also are here to learn so we can be in discipleship. And what does that mean? That we carry the words of Jesus and use him as the example to lift ourselves up and in tune then lift our neighbors up so that the bright sunshiny day that we have, this wonderful spring day, is the only sunshine. That we too can walk into a room like a Thich Nhat Hanh, a Gandhi, or Buddha, Jesus Christ, or a number of people who embodied peace. I think living now, we've encountered those people who they walk into a room and their light shines brightly. And immediately you just want to be near them because they just make you feel so good. They are our teachers, and they are our examples because we too are here to be that in our own way. To continue on, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, and the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. You know him," he's telling the disciples, "because he abides with you and will be in you." Jesus says to them, "I will not leave you orphaned." How many times have we felt like we've been orphaned? Even orphaned by God, but truly of this world. How many of us have felt like during the time when things are going good and then all of a sudden the rug gets snapped from you or the other shoe drops? And it's at that time when we feel that God sometimes isn't with us. That's when we really call to God, isn't it? God, why me? Oh, God, oy vey, whatever you want to say. But it's really, it's those times when Jesus was telling his disciples that, you know, even though I'm gone, though I'm ascended, though I am doing that which I'm supposed to do, I am not leaving you orphaned. Because they were flipping out during the process before he was murdered. The disciples were going, oh my God, they were holding on to him for dear life, and they were saying, please don't tell us that you're going. You must be, well, you can't be lying, but you're the Lord, but something must be wrong. And it was this that he was saying, I might be going. My body might be gone into the heavens, into the ethers. And when we talk about the heavens are a state of consciousness, of greatness, of good, where there is no error. I am going there, Jesus says, but I will not leave you here on this earth without counsel, without a teacher, without help. And that help is the Holy Spirit. Now, in reality, God is God, and the three parts that we call the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit ultimately are all one, but us earthlings here need to dissect things, right? So we need to think of the Father as the overall creator, and the Christ or the Son, we think of it as the eternal Word. The Word of God, the Word and the guidance of God that comes through us. And then the Holy Spirit as the action of God, that loving action. And we tend to think that it's somewhere out there. I think it's because that is the way that we were raised, especially if you were a Christian. That's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it's out there, up there. And you better hope that you can pray to it. But we find that even in the words of Jesus, is that it is not up there, out there in some strange place. It's here with us all the time. I again find it really interesting that we kind of try to wait and place our ideas and don't take responsibilities for this earth, take responsibilities of being the light. And that's all Jesus really taught, was for us to move forward and to know that he is at the Father's side, and that the Holy Spirit is here to help us move, to counsel us, to guide us, and to allow us to be the hands, the feet of God. For if God is everywhere present, God abides within us. And then if it would be true that God's actions abide within us. Jesus told his followers that after the ascension, they were to go to the upper room in Jerusalem. Jerusalem symbolizing that place of peace. He says the same thing to you, each and every one of you. So what is this upper place? And is that place, again, that place, that ethereal place somewhere out there that we have no means or ways to get to? No. That place is within us. That place is that connection where the relationship with God and you, and that communication, and that silent place can really come to fruition. Now know that God is everywhere present, and you can connect with God wherever you are, but this is a quiet, silent place that is just meant for you and it. That quiet, silent place where you go to when to get through all the confusion, to get all the angst, and where you can feel the presence of God. Truly, in that time of healing, that time where you feel low, and there's that lack consciousness, go away. Go to a place where you can just sit or stand or do whatever you like. But go to that place where you just are calm. That's the upper room. That place where you can fully feel the presence of God, where it's uninterrupted. Where's a constant flow? Think of yourself as our Bible says, you are the temple of the living God. This upper room that is inside you, go visit it through prayer, through a higher spiritual experience with God. This, too, is where the Holy Spirit abides, because the Holy Spirit is that action. So it's going to be the voice of God. It's going to be the hand that touches you. It's going to be that guidance that continues to thrill you. And it's going to be that fan that's going, ricka, 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 that gets your attention. Actually, no, we're supposed to keep it going on. It's all right.
You can turn it down a notch.
Yeah. See, it's just saying, God, yeah, listen. Listen, it's got your attention. Don't sleep. The Holy Spirit, we don't really think about it abiding in us. Thank you so very much, Jerry Ann. Thank you, Linda. I see a third head back there. And Karen, Karine.
They are not well-engineered.
There's three. Three is the ultimate power. I don't know which one of you was the Holy Spirit, but you have abundant power. We don't really realize the abundant power that lies there for us because we are so shut down. And we are so shut down that we're expecting this hero or heroine as the second coming of Jesus to come swooping in and saving us. Similar to what the Jewish people thought of the Savior, what many religions think of as the Savior. But Jesus came as a source of peace and a lesson. And the lesson was, is especially since he took on disciples and said, follow me. The follow me wasn't just go to death, follow me in crucifixion. No, it was learn these lessons and then take them. Once he ascended, he said, take these lessons to all of creation. Be with my people. Those lessons were supposed to live on and on, generation after generation. Those lessons are supposed to be embodied with us. And after all these thousands of years, I really do think that these lessons should have been, well, no shoulda, no couldas. My apologies there. I think that it's time for us to grab hold of the lessons, grab hold of this tremendous power within us of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and continue to elevate and ascend forward. There is a few years ago, Sir Oliver Lodge was quoted as saying, there is energy enough in 1 cubic inch of ether to run a 40-horsepower engine for 40 million years. 1 cubic inch. An immense power that we can't even comprehend. An immense power that will elevate us, that lifts us up, that is here for us, and yet we still are closed off to it. Jesus said, you go. I will send the Holy Spirit. You teach my people, my flock, my sheep, your flock, your sheep, your brethren, that the Holy Spirit is here, ready, and that you don't just need me. I'm here with you. But you have company here. And take that company and you rise. You help your people. You remember the two commandments. Love God with all your might and help everyone. No matter whether they look like you, sound like you, hopefully they don't sound like me, but even if they did sound like you, they have their own religious theories, they believe the same things that you believe, they're the same political party that you belong to, love them. The same sexual orientation, love them. If you don't understand them, love them. Immensely. Be the light. Be the example within us. We have it within us. It is our job. It is what we're here and born to be, is the light. Stop covering the light. Stop playing small. Have faith in the Holy Spirit. Have faith in the Christ. Have faith, most importantly, in God. That no matter what your troubles seem to be, that we have help right here, right now. All we have to do is ask for it. I know most people say, Reverend Crystal, I've asked for it. I don't see it. then I ask you lovingly, gently, have you listened? That's where we get confusion. That's where the disciples became confused. Because they weren't really listening to Jesus. Because if you read the Bible, everything is there. He plows it down. But the disciples, that's why Jesus kept getting so mad at them. He would go, God loves you. We are one. And they would go, well, thank you, God, but I want to be beside you and I want to follow you. They didn't hear them because they weren't listening. It's time for us to listen. I lost it, but somewhere in here I have proof where he says that God is within, I am within God. God is within me. You are within me and I am within you. Still in John. We are all in it together. We are all one. So the lessons at the end as Jesus ascends and the real great lesson of Easter is that everything we need is within us. And that Jesus is gone. His body is gone. But his spirit still lives within us. And not to count on some ethereal human that has taken the reins as Christ. It's time for us to take the truth of who we are, the title of Christ, to be better, to do better, to stop living in fear, and to move forward courageously and allow the Holy Spirit to have complete dominion over us so that we can rise, so that we no longer feel orphaned, and so that we can live the way Jesus all wanted us to live by his example, and that we don't have to die to rise. Right here, right now, let us create heaven here on earth. God bless you. The Christ in me knows and loves the Christ in each and every one of you. Thank you very much.